Live sport. This is The Grill, exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Into the final hour of the show, as always, we do appreciate your company with us this evening. Myself, Chris McCarty, joined today by Carl Van Roosevelt and Mark Archer. We're keeping you bang up to date with all of the live sport. There's only one place to start. That is Hungary. That is Budapest. There is a result from qualifying. If you're a Lewis Hamilton fan, turn your volume down.
Yeah, Chris McCarty, as you said, it's all about the prancing horse in Budapest this afternoon. It's the Ferraris that are in pole position. Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Räikkönen on first and second position. They followed by the Mercedes of Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton down in fourth position. Then come the Red Bulls of Verstappen and Ricciardo, Hülkenberg, Alonso, Van Doom and Sainz. That makes up your top 10 for the start of the Hungarian Grand Prix, of course, which will happen tomorrow in Budapest. What I can tell you is it's Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Räikkönen at the top of the grid. Of course, Lewis Hamilton not equaling Michael Schumacher's record of 68th pole positions today. He'll have to wait for the next Grand Prix, which I believe is in Belgium.
From Budapest, we go to London, from Hungary to England, from Formula One to cricket. It's time for the South Africans to turn their volume down now.
England 44 for 1 in their second innings in reply to South Africa's innings in their first innings of 175 dismissed earlier today. The big wicket of Alistair Cook, bowled by Morne Morkel for 7. At the crease is the debutant Tom Wesley. He's 13 not out. He's going well. And Kenton Jennings, the other opening batsman, 19 not out. It's a big lead for England on day 3. They currently lead the Proteas by 222 for 9 wickets remaining in their second innings.
A little nod there to Richie Beno. And just to continue the theme, Chelsea fans, if you are, my goodness, if you are a Lewis Hamilton fan, a South African, and you also happen to be a Chelsea fan, it's not been a good couple of moments for you, but turn your volumes down now, Chelsea fan, because I can tell you 69 minutes on the clock of your pre-season friendly over in Singapore. It is Chelsea 0, Inter Milan 2. Stefan Jovetic did put the Nerazzurri ahead at the stroke of half-time. That was after missing a penalty. He did follow up to put home the rebound. I can tell you Manchester United, a reported Manchester United target, Ivan Perisic, doubling Inter's advantage 8 minutes in to that second period. Yes, it is only a friendly, but Chelsea fans will be a little disheartened by their team's performance today. They are 2-0 down to Inter Milan. A busy, busy day of pre-season action. Tottenham, they take on Manchester City. 2 a.m. UAE time, so that little later this evening. Then it is El Clasico, the first El Clasico out with Spain. And as Real Madrid taking on Barcelona, that one kicks off at 4 a.m. And then you may as well just stay up throughout the night, because then you've got UFC 214 from Anaheim, California. That all gets underway around about 4 or 5 a.m. in the small hours of tomorrow morning. The headline act, we talked about it, Carl, on Thursday's show, Daniel Cormier against John Jones. It is the rematch, revenge on the mind for Daniel Cormier. For John Jones, it's all about redemption.
Yeah, absolutely. John Jones, of course, he's been having the big... should I say, at the ring fights, Chris McCarty. To me, the big thing, of course, is he's not the youngest of contenders.
No.
Is he fit enough for this fight? And I guess time will tell. But as you say, big redemption for him. I guess he will come out all guns blazing and look to kind of reinstate himself as the former champion that he was.
We did speak to Sport360's Alex Rhea. He gave high praise indeed to John Jones, calling him one of, if not the best fighter UFC has seen. He has had well-documented issues outside of the octagon. It is worth pointing out, though, he did beat Daniel Cormier back in UFC 182. I expect him, I've got to be honest and say, I expect him to have too much for Daniel Cormier, who at 38 years of age, I do think he's improved following that defeat in the opening bout. But I just think that John Jones simply has too much artillery, too much weapons in his arsenal to succumb to Daniel Cormier. We'll discuss that in a little bit more detail between now and 6 o'clock. I know there's an awful lot of UFC fans who will be setting their alarms early tomorrow morning. Just away from all of that, though, I want to get an update. It is a lot going on down under. AFL fast approaching Super weekend, the big final, of course. You've got the story, Mark Archer.
Yeah, I'll give you an update to round 19 in the AFL, and I can give you a couple of big results this weekend have happened. Yesterday at the MCG, the Hawthorn Hawks, who are usually there or thereabouts come playoff time, have had a disappointing season to date. They kept their faint playoff hopes alive with a thrilling 6-point victory against the Sydney Swans, 72 to 66. Results coming in today, North Melbourne upset the Melbourne Demons by 4 points in Hobart, 76-72. Greater Western Sydney consolidate their top four position with a 12-point victory against the Fremantle Dockers, 98-86. Fresh off the press, two results. The Richmond Tigers have defeated the Gold Coast football side, 98-65, and Geelong have thrashed Carlton, 123-58. Now, Port Adelaide have won a thriller against St Kilda, 63-61, with Robbie Gray kicking a clutch goal in the final seconds. Let's just have a listen to that match that took place earlier today at the Adelaide Oval.
They have to just watch and see how it plays out. Ryder over the back, path of Robbie Gray. He's a superstar for the power. He goes long. Has it got the legs? Yes! Robbie Gray's kicked a big goal. And the power on the cusp of a great victory.
Yeah, that was Robbie Gray kicking the clutch goal. There was 3 seconds left in that match, and that meant that the Port Adelaide Power beat St Kilda 63-61. So, as you rightly say, Chris, we're getting towards the business end of the AFL season. Only a few weeks to go till we get into the playoffs, and then obviously the grand final at the MCG. 100,000 Aussie rules fans there will pack the stadium for that final. Also, just give you a couple of results from the NRL round 21, getting close towards playoff times as well. Results to date over the weekend: the Penrith Panthers were too strong for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldoggies, 16-8. New Zealand Warriors were defeated at home again in Auckland against the Cronulla Sharks. The Sharks were too good. They won that match 26-12. ANZ Stadium, the Parramatta Eels produced their best performance of the season to beat the Brisbane Broncos, 28-14. The Newcastle Knights got past St George Illawarra Dragons, 21-14. Just concluded this afternoon, the Canberra Raiders were too good for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, 38-12. And there is one match still underway, 20 minutes remaining. It's the North Queensland Cowboys, 16, the Sydney Roosters, 10. Big match that, because both teams are in the playoff zone.
You've gone quiet, Carl. You're engrossed in the rugby, I think. It's not good for South Africans out there. Hurricanes are flying.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, turn down your radio if you don't want to hear the score. Yeah, Chris McCarty, what I can tell you is the Hurricanes are on fire. They're leading the Lions 22-3. Fantastic try here by Adi Sevilla. And as I say, the Hurricanes are just putting on so much pressure at the moment against the Lions. As I say, 38 minutes played. We've seen the end of the first half. Now the Lions on the lines of the Hurricanes. They need a breakthrough try here. And it looks like, as I say, that the Lions, yes, the Lions have gone over for a score, Chris McCarty. 22-8 with a conversion to come. Fantastic pressure from the Lions just before halftime. It's the try that they needed. And as I say, fantastic score for the Lions just when it's needed most.
We're talking about the altitude over there in Joburg. Just walk me through the Hurricanes this past week. They would have gone on a flight. What would they have done? Straight after?
They played last week in Cape Town.
Ah.
So they were in down in Newlands. They beat the Stormers in that sort of match. So they've been in South Africa. Obviously, the difference, though, I mean, so the jet lag factor shouldn't have been a factor. But Cape Town's at sea level. They've had to go up to Johannesburg. They've had a good week up there preparing. So it's not as though they've flown from New Zealand after a match. So if it's worked any good for them, it hasn't been as bad as travelling on and basically having 3 or 4 days preparation.
What's Cape Town to Joburg on a flight, Carl?
2 hours, sir.
So it's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. They would have got some rest and recuperation after their victory in the quarterfinals last week. And they would have got up there, they would have had a good 4 or 5 days prep ahead of the match.
Yeah, and we've seen, I think they played golf this week. They've been having a lot of fun kicking the golf, because the ball goes so much further at altitude, having long kicking competitions from 70 metres and doing all sorts of fun things. So, yeah, they would have properly acclimatised at the altitude level, got into the right sleep patterns being in South Africa now for 2 weeks, and obviously their first half performance is reflecting that. Is it half time yet, Carl?
No, it's 40 minutes played, as I say. Bowden Barrett will kick off just to end the half, but as I say, it's all been Hurricanes, Chris McCarty. Some stupid mistakes from the Lions, and it seems like defensively the Lions quite haven't sorted themselves out yet. So as I say, Hurricanes 22, Lions 10.
Just sticking with, not with rugby, but with contact sport, a sport of a different nature. NFL making the headlines for all of the wrong reasons, in truth, this past week. I say all the wrong reasons. I should say all the right reasons, because the spotlight has turned to injuries and certainly the well-being of athletes who take part in American football and NFL. We spoke about it at length on Thursday's show. A study of American football players' brains. This was released. The report was released last Tuesday in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Studied 202 deceased players, 111 of them coming from the NFL. worrying stat that come from all of this, that 99% of those 110, so only one did not show signs of brain disease, CTE. We spoke about it, didn't we? We spoke to the co-author of this study, the largest of its kind ever partaken in history. We spoke to Michael, a law school from the Boston University, on Thursday night. Carl, you've had a couple of days now to I guess digest what he had to say in all of this. It is remarkable in the sense that it's not good. It makes for pretty awful reading if you're an American football fan, if you are certainly an exponent of the game of American football.
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking, Chris, the results that I have found. And of course, this all started, a lot of people I'm sure have watched the movie Concussion with Will Smith. And this all started with the Pittsburgh Steeler, Mike Webster, that was diagnosed with this. The scary thing about the interview that we had with the gentleman that is just released this is that you can't detect this disease while you're alive. They can only detect it once you've deceased. So I think there's a lot of research that will go into this. Me and you have spoken broadly about it. It seems that a lot of American football players are affected by it. And I think that, you know, the more and more light they shed on this, I believe that eventually we'll see a rule change in NFL, maybe an equipment change, to start seeing these type of injuries decline.
Mark Archer, you've worked in NFL. It's a difficult one. I mean, listen, I guess the good news from all of this is we're talking about it now. This study has highlighted a real prevalent issue that needs discussion, that needs a lot more research, a lot more studying on. I guess the other positive in all of this is that the NFL are finally standing up and starting to take notice of all of this. That only happened last year. From what you know from working in the sport, are they serious about tackling this issue?
I think they have to be now, once we've seen these results. I think for many years the NFL like to try and sweep it under the carpet and ignore some of the worrying signs, but now we're getting documented medical evidence of players being affected, and it's affecting their lives. And I mean, the thing about NFL is the lifespan of a player is very short. I think what you're going to remember is it's not the big star players. You have 50 players on a team. You know, you have an offensive team and a defensive team. And the average life of an NFL player is like 2.5 years. That's it. That's their career. So they try and earn as much money as they can in a short space of time. So you're willing to sacrifice pretty much anything. You'll give anything to be physically and play and take the hits, because if you don't, obviously, knowing that lifespan, you're going to go and do something else. So they try and earn as much money, take as many risks as possible, and you don't have long careers, generally. That being said, it's tough, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got players wearing helmets. Obviously, advanced technology now with concussion and medical testing should point to the factors. And I think what will happen now is you'll start to see a lot more parents not wanting players to play American football, and you'll see players who play American football retire a lot earlier in their careers, not wanting to risk injury. If you've made money early in your career, there's no reason you'll prolongate your career, and the game will start to change. Whether the rules change, we've seen it in rugby in the last couple of seasons now, it's really become noticeable with percussion protocols. Players now, if you have a head knock, you get taken from the field, you can't come back. If you get concussed, medically diagnosed, you have to stand down now. That hasn't really happened as much, I don't think, in American football, in the National Football League. We do see it in rugby. They are, any tackling that, for whatever reason, right or wrong, foul play or not foul play, that goes anywhere near the head, players are being sin-binned and being sent off for dangerous tackles. So rugby's trying to change, and trying to change quite quickly. It's whether American football, with so much money at stake, when you've got short careers, players and the authorities can make decisions to protect the livelihood of the players. And that will be interesting to see now what changes come out of studies like that and movies that document it, like Concussion, clearly showed that the National Football League wanted to avoid these problems. Now are liable for massive lawsuits. We know how they love a lawsuit in the US. There will be massive lawsuits opened up here. And I think they have made billion-dollar settlements to try and close the door on it, but you can't ignore the problem. You have to deal with it and find ways, whether it be changing the rules, changing the equipment, and doing whatever they can. But it's a very, very violent game. It's what makes the game of American football what it is. It's extremely violent.
It is violent, but there are, I think, I still think the beauty in the sport could still be ascertained or still be held with one or two changes, because at the end of the day, and we said this on Thursday, the safety is paramount. The safety of the athletes is absolute paramount, or it needs to be. I don't think there will be a detraction away from the sport if one or two rules are tweaked. But anyway, we're going to get into more of this when we come back. Keep your thoughts coming in already. I see a couple of texts coming in on this subject. Keep them coming in on 4001. We'll get to them next.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Mark Archer just docked 15% of his match fee. Getting a stat wrong, Mark Archer. You know I'm a stickler for my stats on this particular show. You've just spent a segment telling me how the Hurricanes have been in South Africa for the past fortnight. They were in Cape Town last week. That isn't the case. They were in Canberra last week.
They were in Canberra beating the Brumbies. Yeah, no, my fault.
You're getting mixed up from your Hurricanes and your Chiefs.
The problem I have is with the success of all the New Zealand teams. It's in the playoffs, it's hard to keep track of who's playing where. Albeit there's not many Australian teams in the playoffs. There's not many South African teams. So
get that dig in.
The Chiefs had to travel last week to Cape Town to beat the Stormers, then to go back and play the Crusaders, which they lost earlier today. Crusaders now advanced to the final. The Hurricanes had to go to Canberra to beat the Brumbies, and then gone on to altitude in Johannesburg, which are at halftime now taking on the Lions.
So that is a huge disadvantage, because there isn't just a two-hour hop over from Cape Town up to Joburg. They've had to go from Canberra over to Joburg.
Unless you're flying a very quick plane, Chris McGarty.
Well, yes, indeed, and I'm sure they probably flew business class as well, which is, as we know, is very, very nice indeed. But that being said, that in itself is a testament to what these boys are putting themselves through, because, you know, we've all had jet lag, for goodness sake, and the fact, and I appreciate they've got the best nutritionist, the best, you know, physiotherapist, the best masseuse, I'm sure they've got everything for them, everything that their heart desires. That being said, it's still very difficult to leave home to go over to Canberra, win a game there in the quarterfinal, then hop on another plane, make the Pacific over the Pacific to South Africa, then get yourself back on game mode to win a semi-final before returning next weekend potentially to face a final. Okay, you're back in New Zealand, but it's not on home soil.
I guess it's all a part and parcel of the job, Chris, you know, and that's what it takes to be a professional rugby player. These boys, you know, have been in the situations before that they know how to handle it, and as you say, they're professionals at the end of the day. But saying that, yeah, not an easy task for the Hurricanes, but they are a champion team. They've got quality players in there, and as I say, all this that you just mentioned doesn't seem to have affected them, because they've had a fantastic first half in Johannesburg.
They certainly have. What is the halftime score? It is halftime score over there at Emirates Park.
What I can tell you is it is 22 to the Hurricanes and 10 to the Lions. The Lions, Jacques Van Rooyen scoring in the 39th minute there to give a bit of respectability to the Lions' performance. But currently it's all been the Hurricanes, Chris. TJ Pennanera, Wes Goosen and Adi Sevier scoring for them. And as I say, Geordie Barrett as well as Baden Barrett kicking those conversions.
We'll keep you bang up to date as the second half gets underway in about 10 minutes' time. We're going to switch tack a little bit and talk all things NBA. We were talking NFL a little earlier, and that new study, that worrying new study that shines the spotlight quite rightly on these head injuries and brain disease affecting participants of American football, whether it be at collegiate level, high school level, or at the very top of the game in NFL. Just very quickly sticking with that just for another second, Carl, I think the worrying thing that came out from our conversation with Michael on Thursday was that they can't diagnose it when the person suffering is still alive. This is only diagnosable after death.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's the big challenge that, you know, the NFL as such is facing, Chris, because I'm sure organisation like that would put the correct procedures in place if they see that it's affecting the players. But it's very, very difficult to know that a player, while he's still actively playing, is suffering from this disease. I'm sure there's a lot more research, and now that, you know, they've opened up the scope on it as such, if you want to put it, there are a lot more research, money, whatever it will be put into this to look after the well-being of the players.
Let's hope so, because it is an issue. It's a prevalent issue that is only going to, I think the noise is only going to get louder. And right, you know, so it should as well, because I think it is important that athletes and parents are armed with all the facts. It's at their discretion whether they want to continue, but I am a firm believer that it's important that all the facts are presented to you before you take the decision to go and try and make it as a professional American football player. We switch tack a little bit now from NFL to NBA. There's one story dominating discussions over there in the States. I'm heading over there at the end of next week. I'm looking forward to maybe catching up with a few Americans to discuss this as well. All pertains to Kyrie Irving, who you would think on the face of it has got it all. He's playing alongside LeBron James. He's playing alongside many other All-Stars, Kevin Love included, and yet he wants out. Am I right?
Yeah, big story. We've been talking about the transfer sort of
merry-go-round
with European football and world football at the moment. A lot of players speculated to be moving, but it's the free agency period in the NBA season. So the draft's been done, and the players now start looking to see which players they can sign who are out of contract and which players they can trade for. And you would have thought the Cleveland Cavaliers play in the very weakened Eastern Conference compared to the West. And so with LeBron James there, he gets to play and make the rules up for his team. He likes to have the guys around him that it makes him the best team in the East. Now, one man sick of playing second fiddle to the King, to LeBron, is his point guard, all-star point guard Kyrie Irving, who says he wants to go and be the main man somewhere. He wants to go and have a team built around him. He's sick of being the Robin to the Batman that is LeBron James.
I love what you've
done there. But let's just put you in the picture, because the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, won the NBA championship last season. They lost this year to the Golden State Warriors. Let's just bring you some background on the Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, will he, won't he be a Cavalier come the start of the new season?
LeBron James is going back to Cleveland.
He says he's ready to make Kyrie Irving one of the best point guards in the league.
It started with me and Bron. It started with our relationship and how we were going to grow together. It's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to look pretty. It was just a lot to learn.
Curry, one-on-one, Irving puts it up. Let's go! Kyrie Irving from downtown! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
Kyrie just a floor general. He does what he does. I mean, it's no surprise what he does.
It hasn't been anything short of difficult of trying to figure out when, you know, when will it be my time? Nothing's promised. And who knows what would happen down the line.
There it is! Redemption for Golden State!
Bron's been in this league for a while now. That's the type of guy that I want to be with every single time I'm going to war.
Like I've always told myself, if you feel like you put in the work and you leave it out on the floor, then you can always push forward and not look backwards.
Kyrie told Dan Gilbert when they sat down he didn't want to play with LeBron anymore. LeBron knows that, and I don't think there's any coming back.
Irving wants to be in a situation where he is the centerpiece, and he no longer wishes to play alongside LeBron James.
I had sources in LeBron James' camp literally tell me if Kyrie Irving was in front of LeBron James right now, LeBron James would be tempted, quote, to beat his ass.
This is a group that has got us to 3 straight finals and won the NBA championship together. A lot of it's been overblown. The people that are in this building every day haven't seen any of that animosity.
Well, it goes without saying that we can't condone violence. We heard from Stephen A. Smith there, his sources close to LeBron James. It does seem that this is acrimonious. It does seem that something has gone awry with those two individuals. And let us not over-egg this. Kyrie Irving leaves LeBron James's hopes, if he stays at the Cavs, of winning more championships. Well, it seriously affects it, because Kyrie Irving is an all-star.
It all depends on what you can get for Kyrie Irving. But there's a couple of problems here. Obviously, LeBron James is the king. He makes the decisions there. And what Kyrie Irving, he's a couple of issues. One, he wants to take a more dominating role within the team. He also doesn't want to get... The rumour is that LeBron James keeps signing one-year contracts. The talk of the town is that after one more year, or maybe 2 more years, LeBron James is going to walk and going to go play for the Lakers, or going to go reinvent himself like he did in Miami and go somewhere else. That's going to leave Kyrie Irving with not much else. He's going to go from being a top team in the East to being mid-ranking at best without LeBron James. So he's going, I'm going to jump ship now and go and be part of something special. And he wants to be the main guy. Now, the problem is with an American sport, unlike, say, European football, is you've got to make trades match. You've got to swap salaries for salaries. You've got to swap pieces. It's a bit more like a chess set. You've got wage restrictions. You've got salary caps that you can't generally go over. You pay a tax, but you need to make things match a bit better than you do, say, in America, say in European football, where guys, if you want to spend money, you just spend
just
more money.
Spend money.
You keep spending. There's no cap. Lots of teams, over 20 teams now, have inquired about to Cleveland about the availability of Kyrie Irving. But it says there's several franchises here that have a best chance of making a swap to give him a chance of winning as well. He wants to go somewhere where he can win. He just doesn't want to take. So we know that the Spurs are in for him, the Clippers, the Phoenix Suns, the Minnesota Timberwolves, New York Knicks, and Miami Heat. Now, one piece of this is Carmelo Anthony, who's wanted to be moved on from the New York Knicks. He's a big-name player that LeBron might want to take into Cleveland, and that might be a fix for
him. So that would be Love, LeBron, and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, which might be a fit, albeit all three of those players play quite similar type roles. They don't have a natural ball-carrying point guard, take-it-to-the-hoop guy like Kyrie Irving. So it'd be interesting to see how positions match up, salaries match up, and then it's a tough jigsaw to fit in terms of player move. Multiple teams get involved in these transfers to make them happen. One man, though, who has always got a say on these things is our good friend Stephen A. Smith. This is what his take is on the Kyrie Irving
situation. There's no profanities here, is there?
I hope not.
Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be LeBron James' little brother. He doesn't want to be LeBron James' sidekick. And he doesn't want to play for an organization in the Cleveland Cavaliers who would evolve everything around a guy that's going to, in all likelihood, leave after next season while he's stuck there for the remaining 2 years of his contract after next season. His attitude is, if LeBron James is going to leave, everything's going to change, and I don't want to be stuck in a situation that I don't want to be in because I couldn't see the forest from the trees. And, oh, by the way, LeBron James, the best player in the world, talking about departing elsewhere. What am I, chopped liver? I can play a little bit, too. I'm a closer. I'm an assassin, and I'm his teammate. So if he's thinking about leaving after next year, what does that say about what he thinks about me?
All right, so now let's unpack that a little bit. So then why not stay in Cleveland? If he feels LeBron James is going to leave, then the Cavaliers become his team after LeBron James leaves. Is it because that didn't work the last time?
Well, my question to you would be, is that a trick question? We're talking about Dan Gilbert here. Dan Gilbert, who's struggling business-wise in Detroit. Dan Gilbert, who doesn't make the greatest decisions in the world. Dan Gilbert, who let David Griffin, his general manager, go when a man was on the phone working out a deal that would have acquired Paul George and Carmelo Anthony to Cleveland. This is a man whose contract expired June 30th, but you let him go just a few days before the NBA draft, thereby handicap and everything that your front office was looking to do. That same Dan Gilbert, who hasn't really gone about the business of ingratiating himself with LeBron James. They talk, they're respectful, they communicate, they conduct business, but it's not like LeBron James is going to go out of his way to want to stay, or nor anybody else in Cleveland for that matter. Is that the Dan Gilbert that you want to rely and stake your future on if you're Kyrie Irving? I think it's safe to say there are better options.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Let's just pick up on some of your texts. We got one in, no name on this one. What is the disease that we were discussing regarding NFL and American football players tuned in late? It is, of course, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It is shortened to CTE. That is a disease that affects the brain, affects the mind. You mentioned it. It is in the wonderful film Concussion. Wonderful on so many levels, starring Will Smith. Mike Webster, the Pittsburgh Steeler, he was suffering from it. Didn't know. He was losing his mind, for goodness sake. And of course, and I do apologise for in advance for telling this little tale, but there is a harrowing story where he was literally pulling out his teeth and then super gluing them back in. He wasn't the same man due to this issue, CTE. And again, just to reiterate, that study that this past week that found of 111 deceased players from the NFL studied, 99% of them tested positive with a disease associated with head injuries. It makes for galling reading. And no doubt about it, more research, more investment needs to go into this in order to find a cure, first and foremost. But I think even more pertinent over a cure, of course. Well, a cure is the most pertinent issue, no question. But it is about ascertaining that which individuals are suffering from this when they're alive, so that they can go about remedying it. The fact that these individuals are trapped, they're in a mental prison, and the fact that, of course, they can't diagnose this until after death. That is where, for me, the issue lies. A lot more research, a lot more studying needs to go into this particular issue. Clive's been in touch as well on 4001. We've been focusing today on that second semi-final in Super Rugby. It is the Lions against the Hurricanes. Clive's been in touch to say Lions with 62% possession but have missed over half their tackles. This tells the story of the first half. First up tackling crucial against New Zealand franchises.
Clive, absolutely spot on. But Clive, what I will tell you is the Lions have squared the game. They've just scored a fantastic try. Malcolm Marks, the beast in the number two jersey. 22-all with a conversion to come. The Lions have had one heck of a second half. They've come back so strongly, Chris McCarty. They've scored two tries, but fully agree with the listener. In the first half, the defense has been absolutely dreadful, but it looks like the Lions team of old. And as I say, scores tied at 22-all with a conversion to come.
I think we can safely say there's been one or two rockets inserted in backsides in that little half-time, because they've clearly been one or two choice words in the dressing room, in the changing room. They've come out firing in all cylinders, and it comes back to a point we talked about a little earlier regarding the altitude, over there in Joburg, that in those final 20 minutes, you'd expect the Canes to be gassing a little bit.
Yeah, and you'd hope that the Lions continue with the momentum. And I think the big thing is, as the listeners just said, that you know they need to make sure those defensive lines stand steady through the whole of the second half. Because one thing I can tell you is the Hurricanes are not a team that's going to just go lie down. And they've got match winners in the team, the likes of Bowden, Barrett. They've got Milner Skeeter there. So they are a tough, tough team, 80 severe. So the Lions will have to maintain this pressure. As I'm speaking now, 53 minutes played, 22-all. Elton Jenkins is a massive, massive conversion kick for me. It is from the corner. Of course, it was a line-out. They drove it over. Fantastic try scored there by Malcolm Marks. As I said, it's Elton Jenkins, and he kicks this one. And I'll give you the final result there. Do the flags go up? It's quite close. And he has missed it. So the scores are tied at 22-all. 54 minutes played at Johannesburg.
Let's head to the Oval. It is England against South Africa. This series evenly poised at one apiece, four match series in total. Never understand that. Why four matches? It gives a chance for a draw, and no one wants a draw.
There's three matches in the New Zealand versus the British and Irish Lions.
And that was a draw.
So true. I guess all results are possible, Chris, in many regards. And I think the West Indies...
That's been put in my place. Thanks for that.
The West Indies are playing some test matches against England. And it was because also the Champions Trophy...
Yes, of course.
...bit into the start of the English international season. So there was only... Usually this would be a five-match series, and it's a four-match series. And I think the West Indies are going in to play test matches at the end of August and early September. But it's England, obviously, the first two test matches... England and the Proteas tied at one apiece, but England firmly in control on day three of the third test match. It's drinks at the Oval in South London, and England now lead South Africa by 252 runs with 9 wickets remaining in their second innings. They are currently 74-1. Tom Wesley is 28 not out. Kenton Jennings, 34 not out. The only man to fall in the England innings, Alistair Cook, bowled by Mornay Morkel for 7. So it's a big lead for England at the moment. They'll look to kick on and give themselves as much time as possible. That this test match has been had some weather issues, so they'll want to give themselves plenty of time and not let weather play a part in the final 2 days, 2.5 days. But we're only halfway through this test match. I think it's fair to say it's very well advanced at this stage, particularly if you're an English fan. South Africa will be doing well, battling to try and save it and get anything out of this test match at this stage.
It's typical Test rugby. Test cricket, I'm all over the place today. Test cricket, of course, because, well, we're seeing day three, halfway through day three, and already we've seen two innings done. England looking in this occasion to set themselves up beautifully. It is Test cricket these days. Matches are over. The majority of matches over the past 12 months within 4 days.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say and give some credit to the guys doing the ground here in the ECB. It's a good cricket wicket. It's a fair wicket. There's plenty in it for the bowlers. It has started to turn as well, but the English seamers and the South African bowlers had the same attack. But England were battling away. They lost early wickets, but Alistair Cook stuck in there. Ben Stokes came and got a great 100 in the first innings there. And they got to a decent score, 353. They fought their way through that score. And then when England came out with the ball, the cloud cover was there. The ball swung. It seemed Toby Rowland-Jones did the damage, 5 for 57. The South African batsmen didn't show the same application, the same determination as the English batsmen. It was Themba Bamvula with 52, batting at number 6, was the first guy to stick his hand up and stick around, show that what could be done if he showed a bit of application and sort of wanted to take the fight to the Englishmen. But yeah, England firmly in control, 74-1 at drinks on session two on day three. A big lead there, 252 runs. It's England's really in the pole position going into the remaining 2 days of this test match?
I'll give you a full-time result from the Champions Cup over in Singapore. Chelsea taking on Inter Milan a little earlier today. It did finish Chelsea 1, Inter Milan 2. Stefan Jovetic opening the scoring for Inter. That was after he saw his penalty saved by Thibaut Courtois. The ball bounced out and the Montenegrin international slotting home. Ivan Perisic as well, the man that's been linked with a move to Manchester United. He doubled Inter's lead 8 minutes into the second half. And there's an early contender for goal of the season for all of the wrong reasons. I don't quite sure pre-season goals count, but Jeffrey Kondogbia, only he will know what he is thinking and what he is doing. 45 yards from his own goal, looks to pass it back to the goalkeeper. The ball pops up and he ends up lobbing his own keeper from fully 45 yards. What an incredible own goal that was. But Inter, a fine win for their new boss, Luciano Spalletti. A battle of the Italian managers. Let us not forget that. Antonio Conte in the Chelsea dugout. But it was Spalletti who came out on top. Chelsea 1, Inter Milan 2. As we said a little earlier, the new football season all kicks off 2 weeks today. When I say football season, I am, of course, talking about the English Premier League. It kicks off 2 weeks today, August 12th. I cannot wait. I'm like a kid at Christmas. The Charity Shield, or the Community Shield as it is, next week, that will see Arsenal take on Chelsea.
Will you be in the US when the season kicks off?
Yes, I will.
Oh, you see, you have to scurry and find some time differences.
I've already done my research.
12 o'clock
I found a couple of sports bars. I will be in place.
They'll be
making
showing
sure
baseball, they'll be showing
everything. They'll be showing everything. It's a sports bar.
No, but English Premier League, you have to do your planning, because it's not just sports
bars. I've already done it.
They're showing football.
Yeah, they're showing soccer.
You have to find some good old-fashioned British pubs, is what I used to have to do when I lived in the US.
I'm sure I will find an Irish pub. There's an Irish pub everywhere. It seems in every corner in certain places of America, but I will ensure that I am fully entrenched, fully up to speed with what is going on. I will have a TV screen in front of me. The family don't know it yet, but I will be ensuring that. What have we got? We've got the European Super Cup between Real Madrid and Manchester United. I'll be watching that one on August the 8th. We've got the Premier League season, August the 12th. We've got the Community Shield, August 6th. Too much football to watch. I'll be watching all.
Chris McCoy, I don't want to say much, but after a night in Miami, a night in Mangoes, you don't want to watch any football. Trust me, mate. You'll be enjoying that. So just to bring you up to date in Super Rugby, a lot happening. Baden Barrett just getting a yellow card now for infringing. So the Hurricanes, without their star player for 10 minutes, Hurricanes have scored another try. Currently, the Lions have come back with a penalty by Elton Jones. Currently, the score, Hurricanes 29, Lions 25, Hurricanes with 14 players. 59 minutes play.
Wow, what a game that is. We'll keep you bang up to date with that when we come back. We're fast approaching the end of the grill this afternoon. Any questions for us, get them in on 4001. We always welcome your questions. We welcome your input on the show. Keep them coming as well. When we come back, we're into the final 15 minutes of this afternoon's grill. Stay tuned.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
It certainly is. All of your sporting needs are catered for down here. Big crowd down here this afternoon, enjoying the late afternoon sun. The sun just setting over to our right-hand side. I'm turning into Mark Archer, giving you a weather update on where the sun is setting this evening. But we are down here watching all of the sport, and Carl Van Roosevelt is glued to the television screen. All happening down at Emirates Park.
It's all happening, Chris McCarty, and the Hurricanes definitely feeling the 40-man effect. A massive gap opening for Harold Foster. He goes through, dives over for the five-pointer for the Lions. The Lions currently 30, the Hurricanes 29. Elton Jones is with a conversion to come. Once again, I'll say this is a massive kick for the Lions fly-off. For the Lions, of course, to lead by 32 points to 29. As I say, a very, very exciting game. And it seemed like the defenses are opening up. A fantastic running game. As I'm speaking now, Chanchis with a conversion. Does he convert it? Waiting for the flags. The flags are up. And the Lions, 32 points to 29. 62 minutes played.
18 minutes remaining. Beauden Barrett still in the sin bin.
He's still in the sin bin. He's got about 8 minutes to go. And I think that was a big cause of this try, because it opened up just outside the fly-off channel. As I said, a massive gap opening there for Harold Foster. He could have walked through it. He ran through, dived over for the five-pointer.
We will hopefully bring you the conclusion to that. We may just go off air just in the last 5 minutes or so, but we'll keep you up to date. Any more scores over the next 10-11 minutes, we'll keep you bang up to date with it. I want to just switch tact if we can a little bit, because big story coming out of Spain this afternoon. It's one that has been dominating a lot of discussion over the course of the past couple of weeks. It is regarding Neymar, the Brazilian Barcelona star. reports this afternoon claiming that he has informed his teammates that he will be leaving the Camp Nou this summer, that Paris is the destination, and that he is confident that the deal will be done by the end of this weekend. I know there's been a lot of conjecture, a lot of rumours, a lot of speculation surrounding this story. We saw him yesterday, video emerging of training over there in the US, having a fight with Nelson Semedo, the new Portuguese right back, storming off in a huff was Neymar, took his bib off, threw it to the ground, had to be restrained by, I think it was Sergio Busquets. He's not happy, is he? And the more this goes on, and the more these stories are leaked, the more I think that PSG, he's destined.
It looks as though that Neymar is going to leave. You've seen the video go viral of his little scuffle. I guess it's only fair to say a little scuffle, a bit of push and shove in training.
Handbags.
I mean, it's footballers. Let's get real here. It was a little push and a shove and lots of people, lots of drama. But he doesn't look happy in the camp. And Barcelona will want to sort this out one way or the other, because it's not good for their pre-season. It's not good for the trying to gel the new squad in together. New manager, of course, at Barcelona. He doesn't want issues going into the season. It needs to be sorted one way or the other. And if he's going to leave, best they get it done sooner rather than later towards the end of the transfer window. We are going to see that. Quite fascinating. Is it an El Clasico coming up?
I think it is 4 a.m. tomorrow morning, yeah.
4 a.m. So, of course, Barcelona taking on their great Spanish rivals, Real Madrid. Nashville, Tennessee, is that correct?
Yeah, I think it is.
It'll be interesting to see, because those teams, there's never such thing as a friendly match between those two.
Oh, no.
And so it'll be interesting to see who can want to lay down a marker in that match, albeit I'm sure there'll be lots of substitutions, lots of players coming and going, lots of water breaks during that match, but it will lay down an important marker between the two squads. And what will be interesting is to see the body language of Neymar,
if he plays
some part, because that will only add to speculation if he doesn't start or doesn't play. Yeah. So let's wait and see. But I think that tomorrow's match and the next week, I think we should know a lot more about Neymar if he's going to move on. And of course, that will trigger many, many more moves in this transfer window merry-go-round.
Chris, you know, as you say, where there's smoke, there's fire. Don't you think the problem with Neymar is most probably similar to what Kyrie is experiencing at the Cavs? He is now decided he wants to be the main man. He will never be the main man at Barcelona while Messi's there. We know that Messi, of course, has signed that contract extension. He will end his career at Barcelona. And maybe Neymar's decided for himself now, it's time I get to a club where the game or the team can be built around me, yeah. And PSG gives him that opportunity.
Completely agree. There's an awful lot of things that fall into place for Neymar joining PSG. That, what you've just explained there, the fact that he becomes top dog, he is the poster boy, if you will, of PSG. The fact there's a large Brazilian contingent as well. Maxwell is on the staff now. He's retired, has moved upstairs. But you've got the likes of Marquinhos, Thiago Silva. You've got Dani Alves, who I know Neymar is particularly close to. You've got Lucas Moura. So there's a huge contingent there. Couple that with the fact that Neymar's maybe looking at it, not a huge investment being had or being done by Barcelona this summer. He's maybe just thinking that Real Madrid have got the monopoly at this moment in time. They've got they're ahead of the run race in many respects. They're thinking, this is a good time to leave, going further in my career. And similar to Manchester City, PSG are prioritising Champions League, European Cup success. He could go there. If he was to help them win that, he goes down as an absolute legend.
What's interesting about that though, Chris, how old is Lionel Messi? 31?
Oh, 30 I think he is. Let me double check, but I think he's 30, 31 next year.
If you're the management and the owners and Barcelona is a football club, and albeit Messi is now towards the tail end of his career.
Yeah, 30 next year, yeah. So turns 31 next year.
I'm not saying his performance has deteriorated in any such way, but it's fair to say he's towards the end, the twilight of his career. He's got a few more good years there, but he's at some stage his performances should slip off.
He's pretty special.
Neymar Jr. is what, 24?
25.
You fair to say the best part of his career is still in front of him. So you could be worried here you're going to lose Neymar, and in 2 years you might lose Messi. And you've got neither or of them. And if you're a Barcelona fan, if you're Barcelona manager, it does move on. But you've got two of the three greatest players in world football. And in 2 years' time, you may have neither of them. So you just play a word of caution. If you're Barcelona here, be careful.
Well, they don't want to sell Arch. It all comes down to his release clause. They have no choice. If PSG stump up the cash, and again,
if the player doesn't want to be there, they'll move
exactly.
on. That's
the
bottom
exactly
line.
It. Release At the end clause. Of the day, if Neymar's not happy, but if Neymar's not happy and PSG agreed to pay the 196 million buyout clause, there is nothing Barcelona can do. as soon as they activate that release clause, that then gives Neymar the right to sit down with PSG, talk terms, and if he agrees with those terms, Barcelona can't do nothing.
What I'm trying to say, and it'd be interesting to get any reaction from any Barcelona fans here, is if you were promised now Messi at age 30, 5 more years of Messi, or Neymar at 25, 5 more years of Neymar, what would you take over
Messi.
5 years? You take Messi still?
Messi. Okay. Every day of the week.
Fair enough.
Messi's the greatest player of all time, and I appreciate your point there, but he has only just turned 30. He turned 30 back in June of last month, and he is still the master. He is still the genius. I think, you know, players come and go, and it will be, but again, Barcelona will be armed with £196 million. Philippe Coutinho has been discussed. Who knows? They could come into the reckoning for Kylian Mbappe if Mbappe is to leave. Although I do think Real Madrid would be favourites for his signature, were he to leave Monaco this summer. But with £196 million, Mark Archer, Barcelona can do an awful lot of repair job to the squad, because I do feel that Barcelona suffering in one or two areas, central midfield, I think, being the key area for improvement. Because, of course, Andres Iniesta, he is getting on a little bit now. Sergio Busquets looks a little bit battle-weary for me. Rakitic, as good as a player he is, dury for me still out on Andre Gomes.
Mascherano's got quite a lot of miles in his legs, I mean, as well.
So there is a lot of work to be done on that Barcelona squad. Time will tell whether Neymar will still be kicking around at the Camp Nou at the start of this season. If I had to push you, do you think he'll be in Paris or Barcelona, Mark?
Who's that, Neymar?
Neymar.
I think he's as good as gone.
For you, Carl?
Absolutely, I fully agree. I think he'll be a PSG player come the start of next season.
Yeah, I've got to say, it certainly looks to be leaning towards that way now. Are Barcelona capable of handing Neymar a similar salary to the one Messi just signed a couple of weeks ago? I don't think they are. And I think that is partly explains this, I guess, flirtation with PSG, that Neymar wants parity. I don't think it's coming. And I do fully expect him to be a PSG player by the start of the season, or at the very least at the end of the transfer window. Into the final few moments of the show this evening. Very quickly, Mark Archer, India home and host in their opening test against Sri Lanka. It looks as if England will get the job done in the third test over at the Oval.
Well, again, the weather could be a big factor. I can tell you the match has been delayed by rain again here on day three. England in a commanding position, 74 for one. They lead South Africa by 252 runs with 9 wickets remaining. They'll want to get a move on. They'll want to get a lead of 400 plus and then try and get into bowl. Because if the weather is going to be a bit iffy, as it can be in the UK, they won't want to lose this dominant position due to weather. So England 74 for one. It's rain delay at the moment at the Oval, but they have a big lead, 252 with 9 wickets remaining in their second innings.
Bad news for Lewis Hamilton a little earlier today. Very, very good news for Sebastian Vettel fans.
Yeah, of course, Chris McCarty. What I can tell you is there will be Ferraris on the front row of the grid tomorrow, followed by the two Mercedes-Benzes. And as you say, Sebastian Vettel in fine form. It seems like the Ferraris have found the pace at the right time, and it's going to be a very, very good Grand Prix come tomorrow in Budapest.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. That will get underway 4 p.m. here in the UAE. That's 2 p.m. Budapest local time, of course. And the match that we've all been keeping a very close eye on this afternoon, it is the second semi-final, Super Rugby. We saw the Crusaders, 27 points to 13 winners over the Chiefs a little earlier today. Today, or tonight, and a big fist pump from Carl Van Roosevelt. That tells you all you need to know. The Lions taking on the Hurricanes. Score update.
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Chris, we had about a minute on a decision pending, should I rather say. The try has been awarded to Elton Giant Cheese. It's 37-29 to the Lions. They are coming back strong. And that yellow card of Baden Barrett is costing the Hurricanes now. 69 minutes played. Conversions to come. He shoots slotted. It's right in front of the post. I expect the score to be 39-29 to the Lions with 10 minutes to play at Emirates Airline Park.
It's not looking good for that all-Kiwi final, Mark Archer. You tipped it, to be fair, both of you tipped it at the start of the day. You both fancied the Lions to just get the job done. If we assume they win, and it's very dangerous to do that with 10 minutes still on the clock, next week the Lions against the Crusaders, it will be at altitude in Joburg. Give Crusaders still the edge in that one?
I think you would, given the base that they've won 7 Super Rugby titles, but it's been, I think, 9 years since they won their last one. But they have a forward pack packed with experience of All Blacks, and they're a very solid. They're a bit like, I compare the Crusaders a bit to Saracens in the UK. They're solid. There's not a lot of flash and a lot of thrills about the way they go about their business, but they're extremely efficient, extremely clinical, and they're a team that's used to winning things. So it will be tough, though, to go to to Johannesburg. What would be interesting, though, is have they booked the flight to go tomorrow, or are they waiting to see if they book it? Because there may not be availability for on the plane, of course. So it must be an interesting dilemma to be in. But it looks as though at the moment, with 10 minutes to go, that the Crusaders will have to travel to Johannesburg, to Emirates Park, to take on the Lions next weekend.
Mark Archer, bless you. Thank you very much for your stellar work this afternoon.
Catch up with you during this week.
Yes, indeed. I'm off on my holidays on Friday, so I'll hopefully catch up with you before then. Carl Van Roosevelt, I can't pull you away from the television screen. You're engrossed in it all. Thank you very much, my friend, for your work this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good week, Chris, and enjoy your vacation stateside.
Thank you very much, Carl. I shall see you in a couple of weeks, my friend. And that is it for The Grill this afternoon down here at Barasti. Do join us on Wednesday evening for the quiz, the big quiz with Sports Tonight. It is a sporting quiz. Again, a reminder of that fantastic prize you could be winning, an all-expenses-paid trip to Malaysia for the Malaysian Grand Prix. A big thank you to Benji, to Saj as well on the ones and twos, keeping us on the air. Big thank you to Aline back in the studio. And as always, a big thank you to you guys for tuning in and keeping us company tonight. Thanks to everyone who texted us in this afternoon. Apologies if I didn't get to any of those. And look forward to having your company once again tomorrow evening from 7 p.m. on Sports Tonight, where I am joined by my old mucker, Robbie Greenfield, back from his holidays. I'm sure he'll have one or two tales to tell from all of us here down at The Grill. Good night.
See you next Saturday for more sport, more fans, and more balls. With an eye on sport, this is Dubai Eye 103.8.